to talk hockey. We go to the Tiller and Rye telephone line and hook up with our friend Jesse Connolly of AlongTheBoards.com. Jesse, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Rich.
Well, an interesting start to the Stanley Cup Final. Things were looking pretty good there for a while for Ben Bishop and the Lightning, and then, boom, Chicago out of nowhere.
Yeah, it certainly was. You know, you always expect Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final, or, you know, really any playoff series, to kind of have that feel of each team testing the other out. There's a slower tempo, trying to gauge line matches, what works best. You want to have Stamkos against the Taves line. Do you maybe want to try to exploit, you know, Chicago's second or third line? So there's definitely that feeling out process. You can kind of, you know, gather that vibe from the game. But yeah, certainly Tampa looked like they had it. You kept waiting and waiting for their offense to kind of get going there in the third period, and the going to the defensive shell backfired on them. You had Ryan Callahan with the breakaway chance midway through the third that could have made the difference, and then boom, boom, like you said, two goals in 2 minutes for Chicago, and just like that, it's 1-0 Blackhawks in the series.
Well, and you think about the big names on that Blackhawks roster, but it was the young guy who came up with the goal that tied it.
Yeah, we've seen, you know, both Chicago and Tampa, they've got an unbelievable top six there with Johnson and Palat and Stamkos. You know, on the flip side there, you've got Sharp and Taves and Kane, and so many just clutch guys you can rely on. But I think we've seen Chicago, you know, more so get contributions from their bottom six, and that was, you know, that was the case in Game 1. You saw Teemu Teravainen, you know, a talented young player, come up big with 2 points, and he gets the assist on Antoine Vermette's game-winning goal there, and, you know, just like that, it's 1-0 Chicago.
So this has been an interesting series, to say the least, even just one game in, but has there ever been a series that you've had the issue of somebody biting somebody else pop up?
Oh, yeah, geez, I'd have to think back to 2011, and of course that was Game 1, and that kind of set the tone there with Alex Burrows biting Patrice Bergeron. I believe it was at the end of the first period out there in Vancouver, and that was a big proponent for the Bruins. Obviously, they lost Game 2, but they had a slow start there against the Canucks in Game 1. That kind of was a little bit of a rallying cry. We saw, you know, remnants of that carry over with Lucic taunting the Canucks and Mark Recchi doing the same, 42-year-old veteran player, kind of getting into those antics. And I think that was a big part of the storyline there in 2011. And who knows, maybe it, you know, carries over and we see something with something similar with the Lightning here in 2015.
Game 2 coming up tomorrow. Is it too early in the series to call this a must-win for the Lightning?
Yeah, I read Steven Stamkos is saying that, you know, until it's 3-0, there's never truly a must-win game. And yes, that's the case. But, you know, realistically, I think it is a must-win for Tampa. You don't want to go out to Chicago down 2-0. And obviously, they're a tremendous team on home ice. They'll have the advantage of, you know, matching lines, getting, you know, Kane out there and Taves and exposing, you know, Tampa's bottom pairing defensemen. That, you know, they've been rolling with 7D men, so you certainly don't want to run into that situation and go out there, you know, with potentially going 3-0, you know, after Game 3.
Let's talk a little Bruins here. The word coming down from above that Claude Julien is safe. He'll be back for his 9th season as head coach of the Bruins. This is kind of what everybody expected, I think, with the leadership changing in name alone.
Yeah, we've anxiously been awaiting this confirmation here, and you know, the more time has passed, the more we've kind of known that would be the decision that Don Sweeney would go with. We've seen a lot of big name potential replacements here in Boston go elsewhere. Mike Babcock, Todd McClellan, Dan Bylsma's in Buffalo now, so there are really no alternatives for Boston. But I think they had their mind made up for a little while here, so Claude Julien will be back, and you know, as will the rest of his staff, which was also in discussion whether they were going to bring back, you know, Doug Huda and the rest of the assistants. So we'll see Julien come back in the fall here, and you know, as we've discussed, there were obviously some philosophical changes that Don Sweeney wanted to address with the long tenured coach here, and you know, there have to be some changes stylistically and I think motivationally too. I think we saw a team really mail it in the last few weeks there, last few months there, and there were some issues that need to be addressed. So I think Julien will be on a short leash from the get go, and there's got to be some positive signs, you know, pretty quickly from right out of the hop.
Jesse Connolly from Along the Boards with us here on Downtown. We had Derek Sanderson on the show a couple of days ago. He was excited at the prospect of Harry Sinden at whatever he is, 81, 82 years old, getting more involved with the team. What exactly does that mean for the Bruins?
Yeah, it's pretty peculiar. We saw, obviously, Jeremy Jacobs has been the owner for nearly 4 decades here, and he goes back a long ways with Harry Sinden, who's, you know, been coach, GM, special advisor to the ownership. And I know he wanted to get Harry Sinden back involved, you know, at his age of, you know, 80 plus years old to play a role in the selection of the GM. And I think we've seen some maybe conflicting philosophies here with the moving parts. Peter Chiarelli's gone, Don Sweeney's in. Who's Cam Neely's guy? I think it's Don Sweeney. Did Harry Sinden want to bring back somebody else, you know, to fill that role? We've talked about Jeff Gordon, who's kind of more prime than ever now to take over for Glenn Sather down on Broadway there with the Rangers. So I think, you know, the more Harry Sinden is involved, the more there is a conflict with philosophies, and I think maybe there could be some butting of heads there in the front office.
Also, in terms of on-ice product, who will they look to in the coming season for leadership, which at times seemed to be lacking in the second half of the year?
Yeah, I think you always look at the usual suspects first. Patrice Bergeron is obviously considered one of the heart and soul players of this team, and obviously Zdeno Chara wears the C for a reason. He's really asserted himself, especially after the first few years. He's kind of perceived as a quiet guy and not as forceful, whether on the ice or off the ice, the kind of vocal leader. But I think those two guys have really driven home that they deserve to wear the letters that they wear. And beyond that, I think one guy that you really want to look at is Milan Lucic. He's a first line player. He's a high paid player, and with that carries a lot of expectations. And beyond that, he was a captain during his days in junior during the Memorial Cup, playing for the Vancouver Giants. So I think at his age now, he's what, an 8-9 year veteran at this point. I think it's time for him to step up. And after the season that he had with so many ups and downs and inconsistencies, I think now is a better time. There's no better time than ever for him to really back up all the words he said about being more consistent and stepping up and taking on a bigger role and just kind of reclaiming the old Milan Lucic reputation.
Jesse Connolly from alongtheboards.com. Jesse, great talking with you as always. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and we'll check in again next Friday.
Hey, likewise. Thanks, Rich.
That is our check on hockey here on Downtown. I guess.